Haunted Night, live with Tamara Thorne and Alistair Cross.
I'd like to thank W.J. Pierce for creating and performing our music. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Thorn and Cross Haunted Nights Live. Thank you for joining us. We're your hosts, Alistair Cross and Tamara Thorne. And before we introduce tonight's guest, I'm going to turn it over to Tamara, who's going to tell you about what we're working on now.
Yeah, well, we've just about got two solos coming out, but meanwhile, together, we're working on the third book of The Exorcist, the Ravencrest Saga, Exorcism. In a remote part of California, Ravencrest Manor, imported stone by stone from England more than two centuries ago, looms tall and terrifying, gathering its dark and unnatural powers and drawing those it wants as its own. In Exorcism, book 3 of the Ravencrest Saga, something evil stirring in the deep, dark waters of the estate's indoor pool, as ghostly jazz age parties fill the air with phantom music. Within the mansion, a maid is visited nightly by a demon lover, and Governess Belinda Moreland is haunted by the tormented spirit of Violet LeBlanc, a silent movie star who was driven mad in her prime and wants Belinda to help her in her search for justice. The Ravencrest Saga series is first released in serialized installments, and episodes 1 through 3 are available now on Amazon, and the fourth installment is almost ready to come out. And Alistair, take it away.
Yes, and if you need to brush up on the Ravencrest series, you can get the first two full-length books, The Ghosts of Ravencrest, which is book one, and book two, The Witches of Ravencrest. Both are available in ebook and paperback at Amazon. And again, you're listening to Thorn and Cross, Haunted Nights Live. You can learn more about what we do at our websites, alistaircross.com and tamarathorne.com. You can visit our mutual blog at thornandcross.wordpress.com. And if you tweet, our handles are @CrossAlistair and @TamaraThorne. You can also visit us on our Haunted Nights Live page on Facebook. For more information on the show, you can visit Authors on the Air on Facebook, Twitter, and at authorsontheair.com. This is a broadcast of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network, LLC. Tonight, we are thrilled to announce the return of one of our favorite guests, W.D. Gagliani. He is the author of the Nick Lupo series, excellent series, the hard noir thriller, Savage Nights, and the paranormal thriller, The Judas Hit, and many more. His stories have been published widely in anthologies such as Robert Bloch's Psychos, Fearful Fathoms, Undead Tales, More Monsters from Memphis, The Midnighters Club, and many, many more, garnering 6 honorable mentions in the year's Best Fantasy and Horror. Many of his book reviews, interviews, and nonfiction articles have appeared in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Horror World, Cemetery Dance, CD Online, The Writer Magazine, The Scream Factory, Hell Notes, Flesh and Blood, Book Page, plus in the book's thrillers, The 100 Must Reads on Writing and Horror, and They Bite. In addition, the team of W.D. Gagliani and David Benton has published short fiction in various anthologies such as the Amazon Kindle World's Vampire Diaries tie-in, Voracious in Vegas. Some of their collaborations are available in the collection Mysteries and Mayhem, and their novel, Killer Lake, is due from Deadite Press August 15th of this year, 2019. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. So without further ado, welcome to the show. How are you?
Oh, great. Thank you very much for having me on your show, Thorn and Cross. Happy New Year.
Oh, it's so nice to have you back. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Yes.
So, you and I have been writing a very long time. We started out in the 80s critiquing each other. And in big, long snail mail letters that we'd write like every 6 months. That was so much fun. And you always, I loved reading your stuff because back then you were writing sort of historical sounding horror. And it always reminded me of, well, Caleb Carr and things like that. And now your Nick Lupo series is what you're most famous for. And that's noir, you know, detective, werewolf, horror, thriller. And they're just as good. And you mentioned to us that they're available again, and if anybody hasn't read these, why don't you tell us about them a little bit and where to get them and when they'll be back out
sure.
in paper.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, the Nick Lugo books, well, they've had a long history, but they've actually been around now since really 2003 when the first one was published. And, the next year was up for a Bram Stoker Award. That was Wolf's Trap. And they've been around in editions from Leisure Books originally, and then Samhain Publications, and now they've gone to, four of them have gone to Crossroad Press. They have four, and Amazon's 47 North has two. And plus I self-published a Nick Lupo novella, which is available on Kindle. So they've been around for a while. I'm kind of proud that they've stuck around. They still sell a few copies, so I'm happy about that. I've always enjoyed mixing and blending my genres. So when you say I was writing historical horror, in a way that's really true. I grew up loving thrillers and horror, and I wanted to mix those, and I love mysteries, so I wanted to mix that in, and other elements that came along, and I've tried to do that sometimes consciously, sometimes unconsciously, throughout, and I think my new book, The Judas Hit, follows in that tradition.
Oh, that's a great book. Tell us about it. And when I said historical horror, I didn't mean it quite literally. It has that feel. There was a steampunk feel, a jewels. There was all kinds of things like that I just loved. But tell us about the Judas Hit.
Oh, thank you. Steampunk has a place in my heart. I love mm-hmm. the original steampunks, and I've always wanted to do something more directly steampunky, but I have not quite yet done that. Let me tell you about the Judas Hit. Sure. It's I think of it as being sort of a blend, as usual. It's a blend of my favorite type of thriller, that James Bond kind of thriller, plus that the Constantine kind of vibe, Kolchak, F. Paul mm-hmm. Wilson's Repairman Jack novel, maybe a little nod to the Da Vinci Code. It has a kind of a religious aspect, but it's actually kind of a blasphemous religious aspect. So it's typical for something that I would like, because I like to think that it pushes the boundaries. And basically the plot involves it involves the Vatican, and in not a very good light. It shows that the Vatican has a secret service, the Vatican Secret Service, or VSS, like any country would have a secret service. And, as we all know, the Vatican over centuries has certainly done things that they might not be proud of. I included in that some kind of alternate history, I guess you could say, and I gave them a supreme agent who is their assassin. Actually, he works for the Vatican, and he's an assassin. And you find out pretty quickly in the book that even though his name is Simon right now, he actually is Judas, and that Judas is a near immortal who took a deal on the day of his suicide, took a deal from God, and became a protector because, of course, he was the betrayer. And so he has survived for 2,000 years, and he has a spotty history of having assassinated various enemies of the Vatican. and also he is also tasked with protecting the world from demons, which obviously do exist, and which are locked up in a special prison. So that's sort of how we enter the Judas Hit. But it starts with the realization that someone is after him for a very specific reason. And so he is the target now, and he has to determine why, and what there's a supervillain, of course, in Bond style, and what does the supervillain want, and how does he plan to get it? And of course, Judas, otherwise known as Simon, has to figure that out.
Oh, nice!
Nice.
I really like this book.
Yeah,
Well, let me tell you, it was a lot of fun to write.
Your newest book, Killer Lake, I want to ask about that. That comes out August 15th, but you wrote this with David Benton. How did you meet him, and what is your collaboration process like?
Good questions, yes. Dave and I met a long time ago, around the time, maybe a little bit earlier than my first book came out, Wolf's Trap. So he was looking for fellow writers, and someone in HWA pointed him to me, and we met and hit it off immediately, and many of our interests are completely in line with each other. So and interests both literary, musical, etc. And so we hit it off, and we didn't think of it for a while, but eventually we started working on short stories together, and always wanted to do a novel, and Killer Lake became the first novel, and we hope there will be more. We are working on a second collaborative novel right now, but our process is it kind of varies. Sometimes we literally just alternate sections. We always plot together. We always have a good sense of where our story or project is going. And then sometimes we alternate sections. He writes one, I write one. He writes one, I write one. Sometimes one of us writes one quick draft,
mm-hmm.
and then the other will go through and superimpose another draft over that. In the case of Killer Lake, Dave and I plotted that, and then Dave took off and did the majority of the work on the first draft, but he left a lot of good blank spots for me to fill in, and then we kind of left the ending open, and then life kind of interrupted the work on that for me, and so for quite a while it sat. And then our friends at Splatterpunk Zine, Jack Bantry and Kip Power, asked us for something for their Splatterpunk Fighting Back anthology, and we realized that we had something perfect that was within Killer Lake, and it was a section that comes at the end of the book. And it begins with the book, but then veers off on its own. And we said, wow, standalone, this works perfectly for a Splatterpunk zine. And so we sent it to them. They loved it, and they published it. And the reviews have all been very positive on that story. They, a lot of people pointing to it as being in the top 3, 4, or 5 that they liked. And that really spurred us. Yeah, it spurred us to finish the book. So, we made a concerted effort this past summer in May and June to just go in and, I finished the sections that I owed, and he finished the sections that he hadn't finished. And then we got together and we basically just ran to the finish together. And we always smooth over our drafts so that they don't sound like two different voices. We like to think we have kind of a third voice, a third voice together.
Huh?
And we were able to do that. And Deadeye Press surprised us, actually thrilled us by taking it right away.
Oh, that's wonderful. Nice. Congratulations.
Thank you. It's interesting.
Yeah. We literally write together. It's in the same file and the same pages.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll watch each other, and then just we hop in. And we do it on Skype in the cloud. And it's the best way for us, but you guys don't do it that way. You're more old school, right?
Well, it's funny because I said that we do it different ways. We also do a little bit of that. We use we're a little bit old school technologically speaking. We use Google Docs still, and so sometimes we actually haven't been in the same file at the same time. But normally, in the same file, we're working on two different places. So we may be working at the same time, but we're usually not working together.
Yeah.
Whenever we have to hurry,
we get in two different spots.
Otherwise,
we'll sit there together and just go, oh, and we finish each other's sentences. I think we have almost the same voice together. We don't really have a third voice. We're so similar, so it's kind of weird. Must be interesting, you know, combining your different voices.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I tend to be a little wordier, and I like descriptions, and Dave likes action and dialogue.
Uh-huh.
And so I think, you know, I think our two interests kind of work together really well. So, and then
yeah.
You know, then we smooth out any rough spots pretty easily, I think. And mm-hmm. have to confess that oftentimes there just aren't that many rough spots. You know, we tend to click together pretty quickly. And
isn't that nice?
the drafts just fall into place. It's just a matter of time, and sometimes that's the problem, you know, just not having the
right
time to do it.
Yeah, it can be hard. But I had something I was going to say, and I totally, it went right on my head. We're recording early today, so my brain doesn't work yet. It's only noon in California, or one,
well,
I forget.
I'm curious about we've all heard, you know, collaboration and, you know, horror stories. It's, you know, notoriously difficult to do because it's such a writing is such a personal and in most cases kind of solitary process. But mm-hmm. we've found, Tamara and I have found a really good, you know, it really works for us, but we've heard a lot of horror stories, have some of our own.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm curious about what are some of the challenges for you and David? Does it happen pretty naturally for you? Have you hit a lot of brick walls? Do you have ground rules about things? How do you, when you're, you know, really passionate about an idea that you have, how do you work something out if you disagree?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. You know, I mean, so far I'd say we really haven't had any major disagreements. We like to plot together because we can just brainstorm and throw out ideas. And I mean, our rule really was to sort of keep ego out of it. Like, you know, I'm not going to say, hey, you know, I'm more important than you're, you know, whatever.
Exactly.
You know, that kind of thing. We just go in there. We want a good story, and we will go back and forth on some points. But generally speaking, I have to say that we plot fairly smoothly. You know, I think the thing is that we both have our solo work. And I think we mm-hmm. get out our demons that way. Dave, by the way, has his own novel out now called Fauna. And I really recommend that people take a look at that. I think they might enjoy it. It's a little bit different than what we normally do together. And it's a slice of ecological horror that I think people enjoy.
I love that.
So, yeah, so I'm getting a plug-in for his work. And, you know, I do my own stuff, and, you know, I my stuff tends to be wordier, and I like the fact that when we work together, it forces me to be a little less wordy. You know, I end up spending a little bit more time on action and dialogue, which, you know, I also enjoy doing. I think, you know, together, it literally seems like we're two templates, you know, and we kind of flow together in a very a very organic way in terms of the writing. And we haven't had any challenges, you know, really. I mean, we plot. We'll talk about something until we figured out the way we want the plot to go. And let me tell you, we're both always open to changes in it because we know that things evolve, you know, sometimes they devolve. Sometimes they, you look at it and you say, well, yeah, what were we thinking? You know, you know, sometimes we realize that we're barking up the wrong tree, but normally, especially because most of our work has been short stories, I think we've been able to just shoot through to the end without having any major disagreements or any areas that really challenged us. So we've been lucky that way.
Yeah, it really is about ego. When Alistair said that about we've had our own problems, we've both dealt with people with egos that get in the way. It's impossible. It really is. You're there to write the best story you can together. It's not a pissing contest.
Right, exactly.
That's right.
Exactly.
Agreed.
Dave and I have never had that problem. I can't say that it would never happen if I tried writing with someone else. You know, I mean, maybe that it would happen. You know, occasionally I've thought, you know, it would be fun to write with other people as well. But, you know, really right now, I mean, unless somebody were to come along and say, hey, I have this idea, you want to work on this, you know, I mean, I might consider it. But right now, frankly, our team is awesome. So I don't see any reason to change that. And, you know, like I said, we both have our own work. And so we get to be a little bit more personal in our stuff. I think maybe our collaborative stuff maybe has a different worldview, maybe, you know, like a third worldview. I'm not sure. But I think what it does really is it incorporates both of ours, and it kind of grinds them together and turns them into, you know, some kind of a different worldview hamburger, I guess.
Right. No, it's fantastic. Right. I think once you find something like that, it's golden, you know, hang on to it. It's really, it's rare, and it's fantastic. So congratulations on that.
What can you
tell us about Killer Lake? What is it about? What can we expect from it?
Killer Lake, well, it's really another blend of things, really. It's a blend of elements. It has that sort of 80s horror kind of vibe, you know, with the horny football players and the sexy cheerleaders and the secret party place. And, of course, then there are also Satanists and monsters and apparitions and some small backwoods people and a few other walk-ons that you don't expect. And again, you know, we kind of threw all those elements together, and we think we have really a killer plot. No pun intended. It was a lot of fun to put some of these characters through some pretty gruesome stuff. I'd be happy to have you read it. Absolutely. Let me know.
We will.
Yeah, this is the kind of stuff that I grew up on. I love it.
Yeah, it has a nod to pretty much every famous horror trope, but I think we kind of took our own spin on it, and we just released the cover. I don't know if you saw it, but it's a really awesome cover.
Yeah.
That the more you look at it, the better it gets, actually, because you start to see some detail in it that isn't obvious at first. So we had nothing to do with the cover. Deadite did that cover, and I just have to say thank you to Deadite, because everyone I've shown that to has said, wow, that is really good.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Nice.
We just saw it. We got it in the mail, and I love it, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not graphic in any way, but it represents the book so well in some weird ways that I can't see how perfect it is. It's just fantastic. So that was great.
That's great.
You know, whereas the cover for the Judas hit was kind of me putting my elements, wanting some elements in there, and then having I had someone help me with that, and the result, I think, is good for a thriller. It's a typical kind of a thriller cover, but it's a totally different kind of book, and so it's a totally different kind of cover than Killer Lake. And I'm really glad to have both types of work out this same year, you know.
Yeah,
that's just terrific.
Yeah.
They'll be coming back.
Yeah,
oh,
totally.
This is great.
One thing I wanted to ask you about that I'm curious about is the Amazon Kindle World's Vampire Diaries tie-in, Voracious in Vegas. What is that exactly?
Well, actually, it's funny that you mentioned it. It's still in my bio, but I forgot to take it out. It's something that we did. Obviously, they came looking for people to populate their Kindle worlds a few years ago. It was kind of basically it was sort of official fan fiction. And, you know, they paid very well for people to help populate all these worlds. And ours was a lot of fun to write. We both caught up on Vampire Diaries, and we enjoyed it. In fact, I continued watching it after we were done with it.
Oh, I know.
The problem is that the Vampire Diaries was great. But you know the thing, because you know it also had werewolves, so you can't go wrong.
Yeah.
You got the werewolf.
Your belly went, yeah.
But you know the irony is that they just closed it in July. Amazon killed the Kindle worlds, and so you actually can't find it anymore.
Oh, I wonder why they did that.
Yeah.
Well, I think maybe
it was an experiment that failed. I don't know. Maybe they didn't make as much money off of it as they had planned. You know, I don't really know. But we got notices in spring that they were going to close in July, and sure enough, it eventually went away. So we wrote a short story that was set in the 70s in Las Vegas, and you know, it had a little mafia rat pack kind of feel to it, and we really enjoyed that. So we wanted to have done more, you know, but eventually we didn't have the time, and then of course now it's gone, so we can't do it even if we'd like to. But it was fun to play in somebody else's yard, so to speak, you know.
Right. Well, and that's the fun thing about any kind of immortal beings, vampires or whatever, is going back into different, you know, time areas in history. You know, I the 70s would be a fun one. Yeah.
Yeah, we thought it had kind of a we had kind of a funky soundtrack for it, you know.
Right.
I can hear that.
All right. So Killer Lake is due from Dead Eye Press August 15th, 2019. Excellent cover. As long as it's okay to share it, we'll happily share it in our places. And I love this cover. So just let us know. And
thank you.
Before we
Absolutely.
Let you go, can you tell the listeners where they can find out more about you and what you do and where they can keep up on all things W.D. Gagliani and even all things David Benton?
No, sure. Thank you. My website is wdgagliani.com. So that's one place to look. And if you go to Facebook, you can find me fairly easily at wdgagliani, or it's, you know, facebook.com/wdgagliani. And I'm on Twitter too, but not lately. I do still have my Twitter handle, which is at wdgagliani, amazingly enough. Dave mostly posts on Facebook, so he doesn't have a website yet, but I'm trying to convince him that he should. So those are probably the best places. And of course you can find, I have obviously an author page at Amazon, so you can find a lot of my work easily there, including of course the Judas hit, which came out in September. I'm going to be at a convention called Capricorn in Wheeling, Illinois next month. So anybody in your listening area that's near Wheeling, Illinois, you know, look into Capricorn. Looks like a really fun science fiction, fantasy, and this year a little bit of horror convention, because other great guests are going to be there. Our friends John Everson and Brian Pinkerton and Chris Larson will be joining us, and so we're going to have a little infusion of horror into the science fiction and fantasy.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
That's where it belongs, though.
All right.
It's
always
been, we hide out there.
Yeah.
Well, you let us know when you get a new release, and we'll have you back even when Killer Lake is due out. How's that?
Sure.
Oh, that sounds excellent. Fantastic. Thank you very much.
Yeah. All right.
I will definitely. We'll set up a date.
Okay.
All right. Let's do it. Yeah. And,
thank
and,
you for
and
having
let
me.
David,
okay.
You're welcome to come on, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Until next week.
Thank you so much.
Well, first of all,
thank you
for being on, and thank you everybody for listening. And until next week, we wish you haunted nights
and sweet screams.
Thank you for listening.
Haunted Nights, live with Tamara Thorne and Alistair Cross.